Hello, and welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, seeking to grow in our faith and learn more about our God. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director here at CWC, and I have with me today Pastor Arlie Davis. This past Sunday, we went through Empowered, The Church on Fire, where we learned just a little bit more about the role of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. What, Pastor Arlie, spoke to you the most about this message as you were preparing?
I'm always fascinated when I read scripture and when I find new thoughts and new ideas that I haven't seen before. That's the excitement of the way God's word is designed, that we can constantly be receiving fresh new thoughts. And one of the things that I guess I kind of took away from this was realizing how, once again, God has such a great plan, how methodical, how orderly his work is. And the whole idea of Pentecost being 49 days, 7 weeks after Passover. And then on that Sunday, that's when Pentecost was experienced by the disciples. It was called the Festival of Harvest. And so understanding that, it just kind of helps you to see the very first harvest of new believers came on this Pentecost day. It was the time when all the Jews were gathered together in Jerusalem. There were three festivals or feasts that they had, a pilgrimage that they had to follow. One of those was Passover. Some may have still been there if they traveled from a long distance. And then others would have been there just because that's one of their great pilgrimage that they would have taken to Jerusalem. So realizing that, bringing the Holy Spirit's power on those people and the transforming power would then ignite their lives and then send them out all over the world after it was done. So it's just fascinating to see how God designs and orders all things.
And we know that this event was far-reaching. Just a good example is the number of languages that were represented there that day. Were there any that you discovered that you stopped and went, oh, wow, this country or this region was impacted because of Pentecost?
Well, I think it's pretty fascinating. There were over 15 languages, at least, that are listed. So there was probably many more that were listed in that whole time period as far as representation. The miracle was they heard in their own language. And that's pretty fascinating in itself as far as what was taking place. But I've read other times where places like where the gospel went to Crete, for example.
Right.
And the gospel, they have no other way of trailing how did that happen except that from Pentecost. So there must have been so many different ways that God used this message and this powerful sermon that Peter gave to be able to really bring a transformation that was kind of igniting a fire all over the Mediterranean and all over the Roman Empire.
Which is really interesting because when I think about these believers that would have been present at Pentecost, the majority of them were not scholars, not learned. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were referred to as common men and had no significant learning. I mean, Paul came along differently with significant learning, but these were not. These were everyday working people.
Right. Fishermen that are now speaking in different languages than what they would have grown up with.
Exactly. In fact, they had a Galilean accent as they were already identified with. So I'm not sure they put that accent in that new language. I would kind of think that the Holy Spirit was able to speak fluidly. Yes. And filter that out.
Oh, excellent. So what should a believer expect when they are encountering the Holy Spirit in today, in their personal walk? I mean, represented here in the scripture that we read, it's described sometimes as fire, a very strong blowing wind. What in our day-to-day should we expect?
Sure. These were certainly symbols of the Holy Spirit, both in the Old Testament and as well as in the New. So we see all of those kinds of things that are a part of that. There was a waiting period while they waited on the Holy Spirit to come. But from that point on, no one needed to wait. So the waiting period was already done. So really, it's a matter of surrender of our lives to Him. Okay. And then He brings the Holy Spirit into our lives. Now, I tried to make sure that we understand that when you're born again, the Holy Spirit is a person, mm-hmm. Just a presence, but He is a person who comes and lives inside of us. In fact, when we say we invite Jesus into our heart, we actually are inviting the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And so He does in that same way. And just like those little tongues of fire were given to each person, this was a whole new thing. In the Old Testament, there was this pillar of fire that guided all of the people of Israel. Now the Jews had their own personal presence of mm-hmm. God in their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that was a new promise. Jesus said He had to leave the earth so that the Spirit could come. And in so doing, from that point on, the Spirit then would indwell each believer. So when we're born again, He as a person comes and lives in us. However, He doesn't have all of us. And that's why when it talks about in Acts later, it said their hearts were purified by faith. It's a faith belief that God's Holy Spirit can come into me and fully purify my heart. And that's more of a surrender of ourselves, like Romans 12 says, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's a complete surrender of ourselves. So there's really many of those that happen in our lives, but there really needs to be that one moment when I'm realizing, wow, more of me needs to be given to God. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Holy Spirit really controls more of us.
And what you just said sparked a couple of thoughts for me. Is there any physical experience that I can expect when I'm feeling the Holy Spirit in my life, anything that I would feel or see or experience physically as a result of that?
I think it's really important to make sure that you understand it's always by faith. Whatever God does in our life is by faith. If we put it by feeling, when the feeling is gone, then we tend to feel like God is gone or His presence is gone. But it's by faith. And so is there a feeling? Yeah, I'm an emotional person. I experience feelings at different times. But the absence of feeling does not indicate to me that I don't have God in my life anymore. And so that's what I have to make sure. I go based on the fact that I've made a decision to be able to be fully surrendered to God. His Holy Spirit now lives in me, dwells in me. Then by faith, I have to continue to walk in that.
Sure.
So if I have a low day or I'm not feeling so great today, doesn't mean God has moved. It just means I'm an emotional person. I have feelings. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I need sleep. There could just be lots of things. It could be food. It could be any kind of thing that could impact how I feel and my emotions. But it's important that we would remember, by faith, I've made this decision. I'm walking by faith.
And I think that's a great reminder for people, especially as maybe if they're new to their faith, oftentimes we get so excited about it. We're so charged up and we really feel on fire, so to speak, about serving God. And then as we continue in our maturity and growing, it feels more like just a process and maybe not as much excitement involved in it. But really, like you said, it's faith is demonstrated by our obedience. And so that daily just surrendering to God and following what He's called us to do.
Yeah, we tend to put too much emphasis on emotion. Mm-hmm. And emotion can never be sustained. It doesn't matter what the emotion is. And that's why I think that we need to keep remembering Romans 12 says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, not by changing our feelings.
Interesting, yeah.
And so we have to keep renewing our mind, which it also says in one, changing the way we think. Mm-hmm. And so really to renew my mind is really changing how I think. And so that's an ongoing journey and process of learning more and more about Scripture, about God's Word, about His Spirit. And changing the way I think, not just changing my feelings.
Right. And I think a key to that is you have to be reading God's word and understanding what He's asking and calling us to, because without new information, how can you change what you're already doing?
Absolutely. That's coming in the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 as we keep going.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. Another question that I wanted to ask based on a statement you had made. So the Holy Spirit working in our lives, what is His involvement in justification and sanctification? What are those two things, and what are the differences? Sure.
Sanctification, I just really say, is a term of being made holy.
Okay.
And so that's a process. And so there's a constant process of sanctification. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're born again, that's kind of initial sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit starting to come alive in us. And then that progressive, we keep growing. And then there's that entire, that moment of full surrender to Him, mm-hmm. where He continues. Justification is really the forgiveness. It's just as if I've never sinned. The sanctification is the cleansing.
Okay.
And so that's, it's purifying our hearts and continuing to help us to develop and grow.
So justification happens all at once when we accept the work of Christ, and then sanctification is a process afterwards?
Yes, it's the ongoing process of fitting us for heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does the Spirit play a role in some of those aspects?
Well, the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. And so the whole area of conviction, the whole okay. area of enlightenment, mm-hmm. the whole area of walking in the Spirit and being keeping in step with the Spirit, that's all part of that process of His guiding and leading us.
Okay, great. And let me ask this now. What challenge would you like to leave our listeners with as they go about this week?
Really significant challenge is discovering new ways I can be fully surrendered to God. Mm-hmm. I think it's an ongoing process that God's constantly helping us to be aware of. And rather than be discouraged and feel like, oh no, here's something else, it always existed. So I should really be, oh great, now I never saw that before. Mm-hmm. God's opened some new thoughts to me. Now I can grow deeper in Him. And that's a journey that we all need to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith by what you've heard here. Check back with us next Monday for our next episode, and stay connected with us throughout the week by following us at CWC Milton on Facebook, and be sure to visit our website, cwc.life, where you can find more messages to dive deep